No, I'm not doing fat jokes.
Well, he genuinely would like to see.
All
you.
I said was I went to see an Adele concert.
Oh.
And what's the
joke? There's no joke. It was disappointing.
Oh.
Why? Because she sang a song and the concert immediately stopped.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that, but this episode is actually going to be all of that. It's going to be nothing but Northeast Ohio rock and roll stuff. And my name is Zekel, usually is, and I am joined by not Rubber City Redbeard, because Redbeard's a busy guy. We don't have a lot of episodes. He's so busy.
Such a busy guy.
But I have a guest that is just as cool and just as nice and almost as beautiful as Rubber City Redbeard, I'd say. You're close.
Well, thank you. I mean, I know my hair is not as gorgeous and flowing as the beard, but I appreciate the compliment.
I am joined by my lovely wife, Jessica. You've been on the show. You're a part of the crew. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I really want to do a podcast because, you know, we got to talk about Blackout Cookout. I really like to talk about the last pizza party that Keeping It 99 threw a week prior. Who do I talk to about these kind of things? And I'm like, who's been there with me every step of the way for, I don't know, most of my life now?
I have.
You have. And I was like, shit, you know what? I was like, let's do this. And I've been excited for the past 24 hours to be able to do this. I would like to start doing more episodes. I'm just getting the itch, you know, the little bug of wanting to do stuff and talking with Grant. Grant's, like I said, very fucking busy. Working on things, getting his home fucking set up, and then hopefully eventually we'll be able to do things online like he wants to. He loves doing it. He likes hanging out with me. He can say he doesn't.
You guys might be friends. I think it's a thing.
You think we're... Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're close.
Pretty sure we're all pretty tight, the three of us.
Yeah. We've had quite the past, I don't know, like month and a half of actual, like, adventures, because we have three kids together.
There's always adventures, but we've actually had to go on adult adventures together.
Yeah, like we went to Chicago and we got to see, you know, bands like Run the Jewels.
Thank you so much for going again next year.
Yeah, we're going to see the Misfits with Danzig.
Yeah.
Grant doesn't like the Misfits or Danzig, which is probably the real reason why he's not on the show today.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. But we've done everything like that. I've got to go meet wrestlers. I went to a wrestling thing. With my dude Joel this Friday, you are going to be going to Musica to see Heavy Temple. You're doing a girls' night?
Yeah.
Is it a girls'
with
night?
Elise. Yeah. I don't know if Lacey's going, but like me and Elise are going to go.
I'm going to go see Heavy Temple, who's I'd never heard of before. Elise actually hit me up about booking the show this Friday at Musica.
I've not heard of until Elise asked me to go.
And I got the message, and then before I could even, because my brain automatically went to, I was like, October 29th. I was like, I'm gonna book it. I'm gonna find something, and I'll add pizza to it if I got to. But before I could say anything, she was like, Larry Gargis, the guy who hates you, actually he hooked it up with Musica, so you'll probably see Larry there. Tell Larry I said hi, I guess.
Hello.
I guess my husband says hi. Mean to me all the time. I'm a nice dude.
About you, you know, it'd be like my third show of like fighting.
I wish like we hung out more and stuff. And every time I see him, he just bullies me. I'm like, okay, all right, that's cool, I guess. Yeah. Oh, but like, so you get to do that. The day that this is coming out, I'm assuming this is coming out on Thursday, the 28th. Tonight, we will be going to see MC Lars, Schaefer the Dark Lord, Mega Ran, and MC Frontalot.
Yes. I'm excited about that. Taking the teenager.
The Mount Rushmore of nerdcore. And for anybody that doesn't know, I used to make nerdy rap. And so, like, these dudes were, like, the guys that if you could, like, is like them and MC Chris. If you could, like, be, like, a part of their fucking thing, then, like, you know, you were in.
You've played the same show as MC Lars, so I mean that's something, right?
Yeah, that is something. Yeah, we did a show in Minnesota.
That was fun.
Minnesota, back in the day. I'm excited to take that. But also at the Grog Shop tonight, Super Corruptor. I gotta give a shout out and a plug to Super Corruptor. They're having a CD release party, an album release party. I have the CD, which you can go to Bandcamp. Go check out Super Corruptor. Go to Bandcamp. Super Corruptor is having an album release party for their brand new album, Remote Viewing, which I have listened to a few times. 3, 4 so far. Corruptor kicked off the last pizza party that we had at the matinee, and I almost felt so bad for those dudes because
they did great. The
tsunami happened right as they were like trying to set up shit. Remember, we didn't know this is like our last show ever working at the matinee. People don't know the matinee is a dive bar. It's just this little fucking bar,
little hole in the wall,
little tiny fucking joint, no stage, no real sound setup and shit. I can say that now that Mario doesn't own it, right? Fucking
right.
It was all very punk rock, like all the way leading up to it. I'm just like, who's doing what? It's like, I don't know. I know that I'm getting pizza, and I know that the band said yes. So, Super Corruptor, who I've been friends with Jason Luchka for a while. I really wanted to be a good concert promoter because I'm trying to get into this concert promoting thing.
You do a good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've always been a proponent of concert promoters are sacks of horse. They're full of shit.
To me, $3 for every ticket that you don't give back to.
Yeah, that whole Dan Call Gorilla Production shit. I know some people that like do concert promoting that are kind of shady fuckers now. You know what I mean? But I'm like friends with them outside of that world, and I'm not in a band or anything like that, so I don't have to deal with getting fucked over like that, I guess.
Right.
But I wanted Super Corruptor to have a good, like, I was like, I want there to be people to see this. Because
yeah,
sometimes
Super Corruptor's awesome.
And it's like, you and I, we've been going to show, like, when we first started dating in 2000, mind you, you know, a lot of our time was taken going to shows, seeing local bands. And a lot of times you see bands that are getting a draw And you're like, they fucking deserve that so much. But then you see bands that aren't getting a draw, and you're like, where the fuck is their draw?
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes down to, like, obviously there's the promotion aspect of it. And as a musician, I can always say, like, when I was doing it, I hated promoting. Like, that aspect, like, there was a fun part of doing the whole DIY, going out and making the flyers out and stuff. But after a while, it gets exhausting.
Well, yeah, and then, like, if you're promoting to the people that you know, they don't need to see you 3 weeks in a row.
Right. They're like, sorry, I missed this one. I'll see you next week.
Every show that you play. And some of it is where you're at on the bill. Because when you were in Crush Groove, there were shows where you guys, like, brought down the house. Like, that one at the Pirate's Cove particularly, like, rings a bell to me as, like, because it was packed. But when you're opening and there's, like, five people that's come in so far, it doesn't matter how well you do because nobody's there to see you. So.
Right. And so what happened with Super Corruptor, and it wouldn't have been their fault at all if nobody were to show up, because we had this fucking hurricane weather that started off the night, and you could see the look in their fucking eyes of, like, fucking...
Well, you too. You're always a little stressy before the show, so the pizza parties, about if it's going to go and people are going to show up.
Yeah.
But that one, particularly, I think you were the most stressed out.
Absolutely.
That, like, I've seen you.
Absolutely.
With the rain.
Yeah. And at that point, too, like, we hadn't seen anybody from Wall Creeper. We hadn't seen anybody from Goose. We hadn't seen anybody. And it's, like, hitting 8, and then I'm like, Pete, the show's starting at, like, 9 or some shit, you know? And... The weather's, like, still so
even the
loud.
The bands aren't showing up. I'm such a bad promoter.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like ready and willing to take on 100% of all the blame. Like, because I thought Kenny was gonna come in. Kenny from Goose, the guy that puts together the Blackout Cookout, a guy that I just look up to and respect and love so fucking much. I was like, he's gonna come in and be like, nah, you lost it. You lost your touch. I was like, oh man, I'm about to disappoint everybody. Because you know better than anybody, my number one concern when I get the opportunity to put these shows together is the bands. Number one priority on there is, are these dudes that bust their ass for hours on end, and they write songs. They have to collaborate with other dudes. They have to make time to get together.
In practice.
And they're working on a common goal. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I think it's, I know for a fact that it's hard work. It's so hard that I can't do it. I tried, brothers. I tried, guys.
Keeping a relationship of, like, 3 to 6 people, a cohesive unit,
yeah,
is not an easy task.
At all. And then to be good at it together.
Oh yeah, I guess they could all get along, but, like, you also have to, like, play together.
Yeah, because we know a lot of bands of brothers that suck dick.
Make some good music. Yeah.
Super Corruptor is one of those bands, ever since the first time I heard them, I was just like, I want them to have a show, like, where they're like, yo, Eagle's pretty cool. It ended up happening. Like, we'll breeze through this. Goose killed it. Wall Creeper killed it. Grant and I talked about it on the last episode a little bit. It was a great fucking pizza party. Let's move on to the next.
And we didn't have to pay for the fan.
There was...
So, you know.
All kinds of chaos. Wall Creeper...
Next time, Jessica just lets people bring down the fan. No getting into that.
Goose has officially played every medal at the mat. All 3 medal at the mats that have happened.
Yes.
Goose, thank you, guys. I love that band. I would put them on, literally. I would have put them on the Fall Fest if their name didn't begin with the letter G. You know what I mean?
Right. It just didn't work. Plus, they had a Blackout Cookout the very next week, so that'd be two weeks of huge shows. Not that bands don't do that, but, you know.
So within 8 days.
Yes.
I think, and this is counting. We've been to Riot Fest, and, you know, we've done some cool shit.
We've done some cool shit recently. Yes.
Good on us for it. The 2 best shows of the year, and there's nothing that's going to top it to me, are Keeping It 99's F and Fall Fest, which, real quick, thank you. If you're listening and you went, thank you. Holy shit. The turnout.
It was a good time.
The turnout was nuts. There was 170 fucking paid.
Right.
There were people that were not paid I'm guessing 200 people. Billy, Nico, thank you so much for I will gladly, after that night, because I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't expecting anything bad. And you know this, I wasn't really even stressing that show up until the day of.
Right.
Literally, I was just I'm not even thinking about it. I've been promoting for months because we had forever to fucking promote this show.
Yeah,
so
since
I was
May or June or something. I've been looking forward to it all summer.
Look, we had fistula.
Which is no fucking joke. Fucking fistula, you know?
Yeah, fistulas. I don't even think I gave a shit about, sludgier, slower, fucking doomier shit until I heard fistula. And it wasn't until, the idiopathic era, that fucking 2000, 2001. When I first heard fistula, I was like, this is the nastiest shit I've ever heard in my life. And then, what do? They continue to evolve, change members in and out. They have different lineups. Right now, they have a very solid core with Bob Branca, Corey Bing, and our man Buddy Peel. The new singer, his name fucking escapes me.
I don't know, but he was cool, dude.
Yeah. He was super cool. I got to talk to him afterwards. I let him know. I was like, you keep fucking doing this. He was active as shit. He was into it.
Yeah. That was nice to see.
Fistula saying yes is one of the weirdest things ever because, I did not expect them to say yes at all. I was I anticipated on keeping it a 3-band bill with Foul Spirits, Fully Consumed, and Vets, right? I was shocked to get those bands.
That was a solid lineup. It all still would have worked out good, but when Fistula says yes, you take them.
Yeah. Fistula kicked off the fucking night. And they did the thing that Fistula always does, and a lot of bands do this, and usually it doesn't have the same result that Fistula does. Fistula will not play the hits. They don't play the songs that you know. They're like, we've been working on new things, and we're gonna play that. And you're like, oh, cool, but you guys could play the Smoke Acid, Shoot Pills song, and they're like, no. And you're like, Morgan Tennant? And they're like, no.
Tough guy?
No, you're not getting anything that you want. You're getting what we give you, and you're gonna take it.
You're gonna get new shit, and then when you get the album and you learn the new shit and you see us next, we're gonna play different new shit.
Yeah. And every single fucking time that they do that, they blow me away where I'm like, I need this album.
I'm always happy with the new shit. Yeah, I'm never sad with what they're playing.
This shit is so bonkers. The process of opting out the last album that they fucking put out, I was waiting for so long because we saw them do that shit upstairs at Annabelle's back in the day where they did a show with Wall Creeper.
Yeah.
And I was like, where the fuck is this? I need to hear this. And then when I heard that album, I was like, this is the heaviest guitar tone, the heaviest everything. These guys are gods. They were playing new shit. And I wasn't not expecting good. But I was like, okay, it's going to be a bunch of stuff I don't know. But every song, I was just like, I need this right now. I need this in my car. I need this every day. Holy fuck. Fistula crushed it. Foul Spirits, a group of fucking grizzled young vets. And it was so awesome to fucking see them play again. And the crowd response. Seeing everybody pit to Cannibal Corpse's Hammer Smash Face, they covered Hammer Smash Face. And I was legit, I want them to do a cover because Wally knows this. I'm friends with Wally, the drummer from Foul Spirits. I think we're friends. I think he would consider me a friend at this point. I always let him know that I'm a huge fan of Foul Spirits covers. I don't think anybody does covers quite as fun as them because they've done Bastard, which is now the theme song for the opening song for Keeping It 99.
Right.
They've done Ballroom Blitz. And I'm like, y'all got to just keep doing this shit. They were going to do an Eazy-E cover but like something fritzed out. But then they went with Cannibal Corpse, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding. Fucking killed it. Feds is never not good. Go check out Feds Akron. I think that's how you look it up on Bandcamp. I know that they're doing new stuff. And new stuff is, I'm always excited. I will put Feds up with anybody, like anybody. As far as like that hardcore shit goes, like I'm hard pressed to finding anybody that I think is better than them, let alone as good.
Don't stop the fight! Fight! Fight!
That couple.
Oh, you're gonna knock that bitch out.
Listen, she's friends with and that's the only thing that saved her, because I do not fucking touch me.
Preach it, girl.
I don't care if you're a girl or a boy. Do not rub your hands all sexually up and down my leg.
Boom.
Because I will fuck you up. And the only reason I did not fuck her up is because her husband seemed decent enough.
Seemed nice.
I'm aware that she has daughters. And I very much like she apparently is...
We're just name dropping now.
Those people are the only thing that saved her, because had I not previously had encounters with her, and you rub all sexy on my leg, It started down on the calf, and then when she went to go up the thighs, when I grabbed her hand and gave it back to her,
you take that back, and said,
"Do not fucking touch me."
Bitch.
At which point, she felt the need to stand up and put her hands on my shoulders.
No,
and then tried to tell me
that's
about why she was trying. No, don't fucking touch me.
Right.
You're not listening. Don't fucking touch me.
Don't fucking touch it.
She did that bitch stomp away, like where half of your body, her body, hits half of your body. No, the fuck you didn't.
Oh, shit.
So, I pushed her back.
My girl.
We had more words. It was kind enough to take her the fuck away. Because I would have hurt her. I would have hurt her bad.
Yeah. Fully Consumed played next. They headlined this entire thing. Good job, by the way. Props to you for not getting sexually assaulted. Good job on
Don't fucking touch me.
Don't touch her!
I've almost punched you on 3 different occasions because you grabbed my butt from behind in a crowded room and I didn't realize it was you.
Yeah.
But then I did. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, if you're out there and you're listening, don't fucking touch me.
Fully Consumed headline this show.
Fucking love Fully Consumed.
I care for Jesus. I care for our Lord. This will be pleasing. This will be the
Honest to God, like, there's not a person in Fully Consumed that I don't look up to as a musician. Like, I can never figure out who the fuck I'm going to watch. Am I watching Jeff Shepler? Am I going to watch him play guitar? Am I going to watch Dan Gates? Fucking so fast with the fingers. So fast. Then you got Matt fucking Boehner on the goddamn drums. Dude, one of the greatest drum. Like, I mean, this guy is a traveler. He's got other bands. He's a signed man. Fucking back at it on the kit with Fully Consumed. Then you got Bobby Clark, one of the greatest fucking frontmen. My favorite death metal singer of all time. And then fucking Jesse Barracliff. Like, since we're on a name-dropping kick, Morgan Phelps came to that show. He's from Co-Conspirator. I'm a big fan of Morgan Phelps just because of his musicianship. Like, he plays, like, 90 string guitars and shit, and he was there because he was like, I gotta fucking stare at Jesse.
Yeah.
I gotta watch these guys do it. We had a successful one, and now I don't have any other pizza parties planned.
No, you're talking about doing... You were talking to Sean about doing the one at Musica, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But it's not official.
I would like to do, like, an actual form Wall Creepers show, because I think they're both, like, the best of what they do. And, like, I don't know, man.
I would go. I mean, obviously, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Something about Wall Creeper and pizza parties, man, it really goes together pretty well.
Oh, was like, yeah. And then you got to work with Kenny on doing like a BOGO pizza party.
Oh yeah, I was telling him. I hit him up. I was just like, when the fuck are we gonna do like a bop, like a blackout pizza party? Like when the fuck?
Ooh, I like that. Bop,
BOPP, right? Blackout pizza party in the spring. Kenny Royer. Let's talk about the greatest fucking show. Aside from, you know, because I'm not gonna put down Keeping It 99's F and Fall Fest.
No, but
I'm not gonna put that down.
No, Kenny is a great promoter. He definitely knows how to put on a good show. Like you and him are up there, but he's got some ears on you. He knows how to put together a blackout cookie.
He brought fucking whores to the West Side Bowl, bro.
I've seen whores for years. So
years.
He makes things I want to happen, so I love that.
About seven bands for seminally local. I mean, Lopan tours. I mean, Lopan's been on the road with Crowbar.
Yeah, I mean, they're a national band, but like they're local as far as like Northeast Ohio goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're from Southern Ohio.
Oh, okay. Well,
but they play up.
They're
local. They're local. Oh, I don't want to say local. They're familiar with Blackout Cookout because they've been at every Blackout Cookout that I've been to, and I've now officially been to more than half. This was my sixth. Yeah, this
I've
was
been
my
to
sixth.
One less than you, I think.
Yep. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. I went one year with Trip, and then you and I went every year. Those ones we got like framed on the wall. That's how much of a mark I am for this shit. I'm like, I got to have them framed.
Yeah, our next place we need to have walls on both sides of the steps.
Right.
That way, you know, it gives us a whole another one to work our way up. We made our way up with the framed BOKO posters up our flight of steps. We need a wall on the other side so we can double layer it.
Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
That doesn't have to go on the podcast. That's just me rambling.
Why not? No.
I mean,
I'm keeping
can.
It. I'm going to open up the podcast. I'm going to take that clip, open it up. Boom.
Me be like, I need more walls.
We need more
my
walls.
Concert posters. I don't have enough walls for my concert posters. Fuck my paintings. I need more concert posters.
Here's a little thing. I don't know if Kenny noticed this or not. Five out of the seven bands that played actually played Blackout Cookout 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, I caught that. I was walking down the steps, and I was like, hey, there's Axioma. Because we saw Axioma. You got a hoodie?
I got a hoodie. I shared it with Evan. He's already worn it, and I wore it like three times, and it's not been a week. So there
I caught. They're like beautiful black metal, beautiful death. I don't know. They're like I think I was calling them ambient death metal before like their set. And you were like, this is very pretty. And you got some goat head fucking dope ass hoodie that is a 2X, so I can't borrow it.
The cute little neighbor girl that's also in kindergarten. The other morning at the bus stop, I was wearing it and she came running up and she was like, oh, I like your hoodie. Is that a goat? It was adorable.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, you fucks with Satan, kid? You mean to Satan?
They definitely don't.
No.
No, that family definitely doesn't fuck with Satan. They're very sweet and wholesome. Very Betty Crocker-esque. Definitely not.
We saw Goost. You also got merch from Goost. Goost opened up that bad boy. I just really love those dudes. Rebreather, Youngstown's own. Was the second band. We didn't really get to see much Rebreather. Sorry, Rebreather. But here's the deal. I've seen you, Rebreather. They're a staple. They're a staple in, I want to say, like, local kind of stoner rocky shit.
I heard them.
Yes. Yeah, we were waiting for pizza.
Yeah, we were waiting for pizza between them and Axioma.
Yeah.
We didn't see Axioma either, but I listened to them.
Right.
And I liked what my ears heard,
yes.
And I bought a hoodie. So.
I would, like, stand up and look, actually, because the lighting at West Side Bowl was fucking great.
Yes, excellent.
Absolutely great. And I've seen Axioma before. John Vincent, the drummer, he's the drummer for Persistent Aggressor. He's one of the best drummers in the fucking game. Everybody in that band is fucking tighter than shit. There's a reason that they've been on multiple Blackout Cookout. Excuse me. I believe that they actually opened up for Mushroomhead at like some Agora show, like maybe a Halloween show a few years ago. And I remember thinking, like, that's what the fuck is up, because they're not, like, a Mushroomhead crowd kind of band. But I was like, I bet they got on that because they're so fucking good at what they do. that you have to put them on a fucking show like that sometimes. Like, it's just got to happen.
That makes sense. Recognizing talent.
They're fucking super talented. I see big things for them in the fucking future. Legit. I see big things for Axioma. Lopan played, and Lopan did the Lopan set that you expect.
They always kill.
You don't ever want to not see Lopan at a Blackout Cookout. There was no Bridesmaid this year at Blackout Cookout. Like, you know, sometimes they have eight drummers and shit. And Bridesmaid's like this bearded, just cool, fucking groovy band that I also put on a bunch of playlists. They weren't there. Understood. It's fine because your final three bands was Laser Wolf from Atlanta, Georgia. Tell me what you think about Laser Wolf.
Like, holy fucking shit, dude. Like, I told, like, you and Bobby and Kenny this, but I've never... You were saying about Fully Consumed how you were like, I don't know who to look at.
Yeah.
That's how I was, like, with Laser Wolf. Like, my eyes kept just bouncing between the musicians. My brain was blown. That was fucking magic. I don't even know how to tell you how good that was. I bought their merchandise, and I also enjoyed Bobby Clark freaking out with how good they were after the set. Because, Bobby Clark, like, Bobby Clark's in Fully Consumed, which is an amazing fucking band. It's right. Like, you know,
you watch
like
every member of that band. Of
the best of the best. One of those ones where, like, my eyes have, like, go all back and forth and things. I was like, so him being like, nobody should be allowed to be that good, like, lets you know how good Laser Wolf was. And I feel like I slept on listening to Laser Wolf because they were called Laser Wolf. But, like, no, if you haven't listened to Laser Wolf because they're called Laser Wolf, fucking listen to them because it was great. And better than listening to them, like, watch them on YouTube. And even watching them on YouTube does not do justice for, like, being up front and watching them live, because that was otherworldly. It was really fucking great.
You look so hot right now, just talking about it.
My hands all moving, you know.
Just with the conviction. Laser Wolf was so good that they convinced me into buying a beer koozie, and I don't need a beer koozie.
We need is a beer koozie.
They didn't have my size shirts, which is 2X, which isn't that fucking, it's not that far fetched to have 2X in your shit, but whatever. We sold out. Oh, we're popular. All right, Laser Wolves.
Hey, you know what?
I do know what. I know I didn't get a shirt.
You got a common size, baby. A shirt. When we get Keeping It 99 shirts.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a lot more of
big,
like,
guy shit, man.
The big guy.
I need some big guy shit, dude.
Then the little guy stuff.
Like, I get that everybody in Laser Wolves, the Laser Wolves, they lift. It's obvious that they're jacked. The one guy didn't even have sleeves. He cut the sleeves off his King Parrot shirt because he was like, you got to see what I've been doing. Lifting. I get it, bro. As a fellow lifter, I get it, bro. I cut plenty of sleeves off some shirts. I get that you guys are all fit. And an XL is as big as anybody should get. Hey, how about you just, like, do some running, and then maybe you can buy an XL. But they were so good that we got you a shirt.
Yes, and you a hat.
Got me a hat that says Laser Wolf on it.
And a beer coaster.
Which I didn't ask for. He was, like, offered to sell it to me, though. And he goes, okay, so a shirt, a hat, which is 15, so I have 35 out. And he goes, and a beer koozie, 40. And I was like, I guess I'm buying a beer koozie. Because I don't want to be like, dude, fuck the beer koozie.
You were going to give him 40 if you were buying a shirt, so I think we were just like, yeah, that works.
He was like, look, we'll just balance it out.
Listen, here's what happened. Next year when we go back to Chicago,
yeah,
we'll take the Laser beer koozie with us, and we'll keep our bottle of weed water cold.
I like this. I like what
See?
You're saying.
See? In full circle. It's all going to be good.
We got to talk about the band that played afterwards, Midnight. A band that I am now in love with. Wally Howell from Foul Spirits has been selling me on Midnight hard for, like, a long time. He's like, Midnight, Midnight, Midnight. And, like, kind of like with Buddy Peel and stuff, I'm like, yeah, for sure. Because, like, I don't want to look uncool to people that I think are super cool. I lie to you guys all the time about shit that I know. I know nothing. So I was like, But I was like, listen, they're Cleveland Satanic thrash metal. I'm going to love it. Not only did I love it, I love them. I've listened to more Midnight this week than I've listened to any other band by fucking miles. By miles. I've been fucking jamming out that shit. I'm like Satanic royalty all day. Fucking speed. I'm into it, dude.
So in your week of Eric Eagle, the badass band of your personal life, is Midnight?
We're playing Midnight today to end this show.
Oh.
Yeah, we're straight up.
I called it.
We're into it, dude. Midnight was fucking incredible. The whole shtick of the hoods and the Satan, and they brought their own crowd in of these younger.
Yeah, you could definitely tell who was there just specifically for Midnight.
The denim, a lot of denim and buttons. Dare I say Heschers, which I got to explain to you what a Hesher was, because I was like, there's a lot of fucking Heschers.
Yeah. You explained that to me.
Recently, because we were talking about that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and shit. I was like, there's a movie called Hesher where he plays like that dude. And the Hesher dude, for those that don't know, is like a thrash metal fan that usually pretty burnout, long hair, that skinny guy that just likes metal, that's always wearing the Anthrax
shirt.
They
look like the kids from the 80s that are in like the Metallica.
Yes. Yeah, Metallica. Videos. It looks like a young Metallica.
It looks like they look like my dad in 1984.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
It's 100%. There was that crowd. There was like we saw a weird satanic couple, a little Satan couple that both they used the same black hair dye. It was very
sure
obvious.
Did. They split a bottle. They were like,
she was fucked up on some drugs, though, son. That girl was fucked up on something.
Yeah. She was on drugs, and he was probably on drugs, but he was handling his better. But he was like very like hyper and giddy about his drug use.
Speed.
And she was more on the like, I can't walk a straight line, and I need you to hold me up. So him bouncing around trying to hold up the girl that wants to fall over was like an interesting sight.
Yeah.
We got to
bring up the knife.
The knife.
Can we talk about the knife?
Yeah. That was so weird. It was the weirdest part of the evening was watching Midnight. We're more towards the back. And this guy just comes up and he throws a knife across the floor away from the pit. So
and
I
he
cannot...
looks at all of us. Like yes. He looks at everybody in the eye. Like does a
like
a look
everybody
around, like,
sees
you
that
see
there's
me doing
a knife.
This.
Swinging it, and I can only imagine, I don't know what really happened, but my brain just assumes that he took it from somebody in the pit.
And it was a knife.
Yes,
like,
it was like a
deer. It looked like a hunting knife,
yeah,
almost.
Like, I could gut an animal with the knife that got thrown across
it's
the floor.
It's a gutting knife.
Sure. It's definitely a fuck you up knife. Like, if I wanted to take out your innards with the knife, you could take out the 100%. Innards with the knife. 100%, like, a kill you knife, right? And so then there was that, like, dude that just looked confused, and he just walked over to it and picked it up with, like, two fingers, like, you know, touching something gross.
Right.
I was like, upside down, kudos, you know, no walking with pointy things, pointy side up. If you didn't pass kindergarten, know that. I was like, and I'm assuming that he disposed of it or gave it to some person of authority, like security or something. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what happened to the knife, but the other man, like, two-fingered walked it away.
Yeah. Yeah, he held it upside down. It was like, I'm going to go take this to the right person. I hope he took it to somebody at the bar. It was like, some guy threw a knife.
Yeah, but I think that the guy that, like, got rid of the knife, like, took it from somebody
else.
Were you like me?
But
I don't know.
For, like, a minute or so, like, I was just looking around being like, did somebody get stabbed? Like, everybody's cool, right? Like, I was like, everybody's cool. Nobody's freaking out, right? Like, everybody's...
And I did look at the knife, and there was not blood on the knife.
Okay.
Like, I did not see a sign that it had actually been used.
Right.
But I'm thinking that if you stab somebody quick enough, and then maybe you would wipe it off, if you were smart.
Yeah.
You know, that you could get rid of that, but I did look to see if I seen anybody physically in pain or like hunched over or like, what the hell just happened to me? Because, you know, if you cut yourself quick enough and sharp enough, you don't feel it at first. Because I don't know. I've not been stabbed. So I don't know what that would feel like, or right. if you would necessarily know right away. According to TV, sometimes you don't know.
Yeah,
right
you're
away.
Like, oh, what happened? And then, yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking for those, and I didn't see anybody in harm's way. And so if you got stabbed and I wasn't there to help you, I apologize. I looked for you.
Right.
Silly.
Midnight fucking killed. That was the one band where Kenny told me that he booked Midnight. I was like, how? Like, I'll get into this here in a minute. But like, it's just like, how did you even think to hit that band? And it was so perfect. It was such a dress. You needed a thrash band. He picked one of the best, and he got him. He fucking got him. And so, Midnight's like a real deal. They're not like just some Cleveland boys and shit that's just like, I just do shows.
They're not weekend warriors.
Yeah, they're not like, I'll hit up the Foundry every couple months or some shit. Like, they tour. They have a fucking following. Their listenership on Spotify looks huge. So, good on you. But then we're headlined by Whores. Fucking Whores is one of the greatest, like, songwriting bands of the past fucking 10 years. Like, bottom line.
Play one of my favorite songs.
They played a bunch of my favorite songs.
They have lots and lots of songs that I like, but they play one of my, you know, like, top 10
mental illness as a mating ritual.
I fucking love that. Like, I think that if I were a wrestler, that might be my theme song.
That'd be a good theme song to come out.
I think that's what it is. I'm a clown. I'm a ruined ass wit in a hospital gown. You're a victim. I really fucking feel that song. Like, Whore, I love that
Whores
song a
was a bucket list band for me and stuff. Like, yeah. Like they're definitely a another band from Atlanta, GA that fucking made the trip. Because I don't even think they're touring. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think they're touring, though. I think this is just like one of, you know, I think they're just kind of doing one-off shows around and shit like every week for now. Because, you know, I mean, COVID, we're still in a pandemic, I think. Right? We are?
Right?
We are?
Right. Yeah.
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 Okay. So, yeah, I wanted to say Kenny's always been, ever since the first time I went to a Blackout Cookout, this is like 100% legit. I wasn't going to shows, to local shows or metal shows for a long fucking time. In fact, like the only shows I would go to was like once a year when me and Tripp would go see like Fully Consumed. At Annabelle's, they would do like the Akron Death Fest or whatever the fuck, but like it was like once a year,
right?
We would want to go see Fully Consumed, like it was like we want to go see the heaviest bands, and so it'd be like a Fistula one off or full, you know, one of those bands who, once again, I'm still just blown away that decided that they would be cool playing a pizza party thrown by some guy that, you know, works at a restaurant. It's fucking, thank you guys. But I wasn't going to a lot of shows. And the first time I went to one, though, that was the thing that, like, kick-started with me being like, oh, fuck, I forgot how good, like, musicians around here are and how good of songwriters there fucking are from around here. And that was... I wasn't bored at all. Like, Tripp and I, that entire day, from, like, the food to the bands and the way that they did it at the back then at the Outpost... where one band on the main stage plays and then second stage kicks right off. And it was like constantly like go, 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 go. And not only was it like go, 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 but every band had something unique to it. And that was like the thing that I caught about Kenny, where I was just like, there's a flow to this entire day. Because this band doesn't sound or look like that band, but they tie in together. And then the next band would like just add to it. And I was like, it's not like one of them old Peabody shows. Because I was thinking that it was going to be, right? Like, I was like, I don't know who the fuck Vulture is. I don't know who, like, I don't know who the Unclean, like, I don't know these bands. But I'm watching, and the entire vibe just kept, like, changing, and it stayed fun. And I was like, oh, this dude, like, knows who these bands, and, like, in his head, he's, like, booking it, like, the day of, like, this is... And he might be like, actually, but I don't do that. I just pick me. He might tell me that, but
no, I don't think it's random. He's done too many of them too well for it to be just a random up, luck.
Straight up. And so, like, not only is Blackout Cookout the thing that made me, like, kind of, like, reignited, like, oh, fuck, I really love this music. I love this scene, dare I say, fucking scene. I love the people in it. The people that have stayed from 2004 till 2014, those were the good ones.
Yeah.
That's what happened there. I mean, there's a few shit town bands, but we don't ever talk about them, so they don't have to exist in our world, in our little bubble. Fuck them. But the good ones, they were there. You know what I mean? And then over the course of the next couple of years, going to these shows, and then I see bands like fucking Foul Spirits. And I'm like, that's Jeff Fult. That's Walter Howe. What the fuck? That got me like back into it. And then when Grant and I started fucking doing a podcast, we legitimately like, we didn't have an idea of what Keeping It 99 was going to be, other than it was just going to be us telling stories from shit that we did. And what it turned into very quickly was us just talking about musicians from the area, or like, you know, just metal in general, because that's the one common thing that we really, when we really bond over. And so Blackout Cookout is heavily responsible for a lot of shit when it comes to Keeping It 99 and me as just a person, because like that got me back into the whole fucking thing. And then on top of it, when I decided that like fucking years ago, like, you know, I started booking a show here and there, I wanted to do it with the same idea of like, have a fucking rhythm to it. And the bands have to be great. There's no need to ever book a show with a shitty band. Some bands like I got, you know, like you can book an inexperienced bands, sure, and like hope that like, listen, band that's never played a show, we're going to give you this shot. We're going to give you this opportunity. But you're not getting this time slot and you're not playing this show. Like, get your practice in. You know what I mean? Get your practice. Go sell some tickets.
You're opening and like half the crowd's still going to be in line.
Yeah, you're going to have to just do things. You're going to have to go play like, you know, down at Chuck's Steakhouse or some shit and stuffing. You get your chops up. But if you're good,
keep practicing. Good,
yeah. Just. Things will happen.
Eventually,
if you keep working
the cream
hard,
rises to the top.
All
eventually,
the time.
If you keep practicing and you're good, you'll get there.
When I did the lineup for the Fall Fest, I legitimately did it with the idea of like, because like being asked to either headline or open, we already had the other three bands, and in my head, Fully Consumed was going to be the headliner. Because like it really started with Jesse hitting me up going, I want to play a pizza party. And I was like, I would love for you to. Yes. Let's make that happen. And then he was like, what about Feds? He suggested Feds. And then I'm like, what about Foul Spirits? That would be a perfect third. And then it all clicked. I'm like, yes, I'll begin with a little rough there. Look at that.
Yes. Well,
isn't that funny?
Even I was like, Fistula, you know, Fistula starts with an F.
Right. And then it was just like one thing led to another. But when I booked the show, I was thinking, I was like, Fistula. I was like, and then I was like, they'll bring in that just fucking like that doom, just heavy shit. But Foul Spirits will be a complete different transition. They're fast as fuck, blast beaten. You got Jeff Falls, you know, his charisma just fucking flying everywhere. Like, you do that, and then you hit with Feds, who's kind of like catchier, more hardcore. Kind of change that vibes, and then you end it with the most fucking technical, dopest death metal band. But that was that Kenny Royer fucking kind of thought process and shit. You know what I mean? Because that was the thing I've always appreciated about a Blackout Cookout, is it made sense. The lineups always made sense. Set the food aside and stuff. I mean, also, you could probably say I ripped that off by bringing food into the equation. Because the first pizza party ever literally was a fever dream.
Right.
I was very sick.
I'm gonna try to do this.
I was very sick, and I was sleeping throughout the day, and I dreamt about a heavy metal pizza party at the matinee. That was literally it, where I was just like, people are like,
you got a pizza party to go to. And I was like, what? And they're like, metal bands. I'm like, where? And I'm like, cross the street at matinee. And I was like, why? And then I was like, that's the craziest shit. And then we made it a real
thing. It was the craziest shit.
We made it.
That first one was absolutely the craziest shit. Yeah. Like, that's still in my head. Like, crazy.
Crazy
that first
times.
One. Yeah.
Crazy times. It's very nice right now, this period of time, seeing the success of the Blackout Cookout. This was my favorite one yet. Absolute. By far.
Yeah, I had such a good time.
By far. I'm very happy for all the musicians that got to perform in front of a fucking awesome crowd. I'm so happy for our friend Kenny Royer, who I don't think he realizes how fucking good he is at what he does in all aspects. He's one of those Renaissance men, does a lot of different things, a man of many different hats.
Yeah, he's a great promoter. I like going to the shows that he puts on and the shows that he plays.
Yeah. That's why I love booking him. That's why I love booking Goose. My shit, because I'm like, yeah, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was like, you Jesus-looking motherfucker putting on shows, making me feel like I can walk on water. And he was just like, you called me a Jesus-looking motherfucker. And I'm like, well, you know.
You grew your hair out. You kind of got that Jesus look to you.
You kind of got those vibes. I mean, hail Satan, but you look like Jesus, motherfucker.
Absolute. I will definitely be going to the Blackout Cookout again next year. I'm going to harass Kenny about doing a Blackout Pizza Party sometime in the spring, man. I'm going to... he's gonna do it so reluctantly because he's gonna be like, God, fine, whatever.
Why would he do it reluctantly?
Yeah, because I'm annoying.
I don't think you're annoying.
No.
Well, but you know, I mean,
you're like the one.
that's
why I put a ring on it.
You're annoying, man. Can you imagine if I had to stay with you forever and I found you annoying? That would be awful.
That would be.
It's good that I don't think you're annoying.
Yeah. I love that part of your brain somehow is missing. It's very, I got lucky. You know, lucky. The part of the brain that other people find me to be annoying.
Yeah, I don't think that you're
annoying. You don't have it.
Sometimes you're like, sorry if I'm annoying you, and you're just like talking to me about wrestling, and I'm like, no, I'm listening. Well, you're good. I like wrestling.
But yes, that was our review. Thank you so much. I think we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to play some fucking Midnight. I'm going to figure out what song I want to play. Oh, I got an apology from one of my employees at work.
Did you find that song that I liked that I was like...
Rising Scum.
Rising Scum, is that the name?
Yeah, we're going to play Rising Scum.
So that song in particular I enjoyed at the Blackout Cookout. So
yeah, this is from Midnight, you know, Satanic Thrash Metal, played the Blackout Cookout. Thanks for listening. If you didn't attend any of the shows or you don't know any of these bands, why the fuck are you listening to this? I'll be back soon, possibly with you again.
I'm down.
You know, unless like you're like, that sucked.
I just said I'm down.
I know, but you said it like on while we were recording. Like it could be when I turn it off. You'd be like, I'm not down.
Oh, fine, turn it off. I'm down.
I love you so much. We will. We'll be doing this again. Maybe with Graham. Maybe with Jessica. Who knows? But I'm definitely gonna do it because I produce and edit it. So I have to. I have zero choice. This is the devil's work. He's making me do this. Till next time, my name's Eagle.
So's yours.
So's mine.
Yeah, there you go. Here's some fucking Midnight. The fire.